Well, good morning, everyone. I'm excited to get into God's word today, so we can open to Jonah chapter 2. Jonah chapter 2. While you're turning there, I want to remind you what we have planned for this series through the book of Jonah. It'll be 4 weeks, 4 chapters, for the purpose of knowing Jesus, who is the greater Jonah. And Jesus referred to the prophet Jonah as the only sign that would be given to his generation for how his death, burial, and resurrection would be salvation for us. And Jesus, we know, performed many miracles. If you go read the Gospels, just the most incredible things that Jesus did. And yet the greatest miracle of them all was when he died on a cross for our sins. And he was buried, but he rose from the dead. And we want to make it our aim this morning, as we do every Sunday morning, to bring Jesus into greater focus in our lives. And so you probably have Jonah chapter 2 open by now, and what I want to do this morning is read the entire chapter before I begin to exposit the word of God. And what I want us to see is just the beauty of Jonah's prayer. It reads very much like a psalm. And then what we'll do is go through it. I'll do my very best to try to help us understand what it means. And of course, we want to seek to apply these truths to our lives so that we can grow into greater Christ-likeness. So does that sound good? Awesome. Let's get into it. So Jonah chapter 2 says, Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your breakers and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I went down, to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry lands. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you today asking you that you would lead us in your will for our lives. And Lord, we want to learn to become less like Jonah, who resisted your will and fled from your presence. And we want to learn to be more like Jesus, who said, not my will be done, but your will be done. God, would you help us to see the ways that we are like Jonah and show us the ways that we can be more like Jesus. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. So verse 1 says, then Jonah prayed to the Lord from the belly of the fish. So if you missed last week's sermon, you might be thinking right now, wow, that was a very beautiful prayer, but does it really say that Jonah prayed to the Lord from the belly of a fish? Well, yes, that's what it says. And some of you have been waiting all week for me to talk about the fish. I did tell you that I would spend a little bit more time this week talking about the fish. And so to take a line out of Jonah's prayer, what I have vowed, I will pay. And so verse 17 of chapter 1 tells us what happened to Jonah after he was thrown into the sea. It says, and the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Now, because the scriptures aren't clear as to whether or not animals go to heaven, I can't cop out for the answer that is like, well, I don't know, I'll just ask the big fish when I get to heaven, right? So, man, you don't think that's funny. I think that's hilarious. Same thing. Okay, I'm gonna take that joke out for next service. But what we want to do is we want to do our best to understand what is revealed to us. I love Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29, that says to us, the secret things belong to the Lord, our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we might do all the words of this law. Now, both we and certainly our children have had many questions about this great fish in Jonah's story. Big question is, what kind of fish was it? Was it a whale? Was it a shark? Was it a leviathan? Was Jonah able to really stay alive for 3 days and three nights? Like, was there enough oxygen inside the fish for his body to stay alive? Or did Jonah die and then came back to life? Or could the fish be symbolic instead of literal? Or, my favorite of them all, what was the fish's name, right? So these are all really good questions, and perhaps I didn't even touch on the question that you are asking, but the Lord our God, who created the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, has said in his word that he appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And the Hebrew word for great fish is the word dag gadol, and yet I doubt that Jonah was inside that fish wondering what kind of species it was, right? Because, you know, when you're in a moment of desperation and you're crying out to the Lord, you're not thinking of the ways that God is going to deliver you. You just want to be delivered. And God decided that he would deliver his prophet Jonah from his disobedience by appointing a fish to swallow up Jonah for 3 days and three nights. And then God spoke to the fish, because God speaks over all his creation, and he said to that fish, vomit Jonah out on dry land. Like, that's wild, right? But Jonah responded by saying this, thank you. Thank you, God, for saving me. Because as we'll see, Jonah realized that salvation belongs to the Lord, and we don't always get to decide how we are going to be delivered. We just have to say, God, thank you for delivering me. And so we're going to be reading this prayer of Jonah that will conclude with that great truth, that salvation belongs to the Lord. Do you know that? Do you know the salvation that God has freely offered you in Jesus Christ? Because that's a far more important detail to know than to know the details about what kind of fish it was. Jesus talked about this great fish, but only insofar as to say that he is the greater Jonah. And so the story of Jonah is not ultimately about whether or not a human being can survive inside of a fish. The story of Jonah is ultimately about whether or not God can save us from our sins. Whether your sin is like that of Jonah or your sin is like that of Nineveh. And so listen, this is the truth that we're looking for. That whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so let's take it from the top and see how Jonah called out to the Lord for salvation. So verses 1 and 2 says to us, then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. We remember that Jonah had been fleeing from the presence of God. He was going in the opposite direction of where God told him to go. God told him to go to Nineveh, and he went to Tarshish. And so Jonah was going his own way. He was doing his own thing. He was in rebellion to God, and yet God sent a storm. And he put Jonah right in the eye of that storm. And yet God never took his eyes off of Jonah. The Lord could see Jonah, even in his sin, even in his rebellion, and the Lord loved Jonah. We know that God disciplined Jonah because God disciplines the ones that he loves, and he sent that storm, and that storm is what woke Jonah up to the fact that his sin was not just affecting him, but it was affecting even those that are around him. And so Jonah told the sailors, throw me into the sea, cast me overboard. And it's been said that Jonah may have still been digging his heels in at this point. There's some people that suggest that Jonah was actually trying to commit suicide when he said, throw me overboard. Wait till we get to chapter 4. Jonah was someone who didn't value life in the same way that God values life. But Jonah's prayer shows us something. It shows us ultimately that Jonah didn't want to die because death is an enemy. It's an enemy that none of us quite know how to face. You see, Jonah found himself there in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea trying not to drown. And drowning has been recorded as the number one way that people fear dying. Anyone who's had perhaps a near-death experience with drowning knows this, that you feel helpless and hopeless in that distress of just trying to stay above the waters. And I love the water. Like, the ocean is my favorite place to be. Yesterday, I got to take my kids down to San Onofre. We spent the whole day surfing and enjoying. And yet, when Dad went surfing, my youngest one, who's, he like kind of knows how to swim, but I don't trust his abilities enough. And so what did I do? I just wrapped him up in water wings and said, have fun, right? And so this is the thing. We all have this sort of picture of water is a dangerous place. In fact, in the book of Revelation, it talks about heaven and it says in heaven, there is no more sea. Because the sea was a picture of death. It was a picture of fear. And yet, I have to say that's probably the surfer's least favorite book in all of the Bible. There's no more sea in heaven. So, but Jonah didn't drown. And think about how terrible it would have been if that's just how the book ended. And then Jonah drowned at the bottom of the sea. And I'm not even saying that the book ends on a high note. Just wait. God kept Jonah alive, though. And God kept Jonah alive by appointing a fish that swallowed him up in the sea. And it wasn't for punishment, but rather it was for preservation. God still had things that he wanted to do in and through Jonah. And so God saved his life. And why did God save Jonah? Why did God show him mercy? Because Jonah called out to the Lord and the Lord answered him. It says, I called out to the Lord out of my distress and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol, I cried and you heard my voice. Jonah's praying from the belly of fish. And yet he knows that the Lord hears the prayers of his people. Jonah called out to the Lord, it says, out of his distress. And wouldn't you be stressed out too if you had the kind of day Jonah was having here? But Jonah remembered that he could pray to God at all times. We know from Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7, that says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, Jonah didn't know the book of Philippians because Philippians hadn't been written yet. And yet, Jonah did know the Psalms. And Jonah's prayer has sections that can be found almost verbatim in some of the Psalms. And was that because Jonah had some scrolls, you know, and a little lamp, and he could see and he could read inside the belly of the fish? No. Why was Jonah able to recite this prayer that reflects much of the prayers that are found in the Psalms? It's because Jonah had God's word hidden in his heart. And when you have God's word hidden in your heart, you're able to pray the scriptures to the Lord. See, when we pray to the Lord our God, whether it be because we're anxious or because we're thankful, whether it be because we're in distress or we're delighting ourselves in the Lord, God hears the prayers of his people, and he especially loves to hear when we're speaking the promises of God back to him. And so the Lord answered Jonah when he prayed. In Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, the Lord says, call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. Now, God might not tell you what species of fish swallowed up Jonah. Those aren't the kinds of mysteries that God is seeking to reveal to us. Rather, he will tell you the hidden things that you have not known, like how Jesus is the prophesied and promised Messiah that has become the hope of Israel, and not just the hope of Israel, but the hope of all nations. And how through one man, Jesus Christ, he has brought together both Jews and Gentiles into one new body in that he formed the church. And this was a mystery that was hidden for ages before this, but is now revealed to us. These are the kinds of things that the Lord is wanting to show us, that God loves us. He doesn't just love Israel, he loves Assyria. He loves all people, and God is merciful to anyone who calls out upon his name. And so here Jonah is praying from the belly of the fish, which he calls in verse 2, Sheol. It says he cried from the belly of Sheol. Now Sheol, if you know the Hebrew Bible, was the Hebrew word for grave. It was the dwelling place of the dead. It'd be the New Testament parallel, actually, of hell. And so it was this place of when you die, this is the place where you may go. And yet Jonah likened being in the belly of the fish to being in the belly of a grave. And when Jesus said that he died, he was buried in the heart of the earth. He was put into a grave. And there ought to be that realization that when we call out to God for him to save us, where are we calling out from? We are calling out from sin, death, and the grave. That is what God is saving us from. And in this prayer, Jonah knows that it's only the Lord who can save from death to life. And so calling out to God, knowing that God is hearing his voice, Jonah continues his prayer to God in verse 3. He says, "For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your breakers and your waves passed over me." I love this part of Jonah's prayer because it has this sense where Jonah is saying to God, "Lord, this is just you and me now." There's no mention of the sailors on the ship. There's no mention of the great fish anymore. Jonah's finally at the point where this isn't about others. This isn't about his circumstances. He's saying, "This is about you and me, God." Jonah's saying, "For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas." Well, as I remember, it wasn't that the sailors who cast Jonah into the seas. Or if I recollect, wasn't it Jonah who volunteered himself to be thrown into the seas? And yet Jonah doesn't refer to those things now. He's not blaming anyone. He's not even looking at, "This is my fault." He's saying, "This is between you and me now, Lord. And Lord, you did this to me." He said, "You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your breakers and your waves passed over me." Beloved children of God, do you understand that nothing can happen to you unless the sovereign Lord allows it? Jonah understood nothing could happen unless God was letting it happen. And sure, are there wicked and terrible things that other people might do to us? Yes. Sure, are there foolish and damaging things that we might do to ourselves? But we know that what man means for evil, God intends for good, and that God is able to work all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And so you might find yourself in the deep right now. You might find yourself in the heart of the sea right now. The floods are surrounding you. Breakers and waves are passing over you. And your greatest fear is that you're going to drown. And I don't even mean that physically. I'm just speaking to the condition that many people find themselves when they're overwhelmed by sin, when they're overwhelmed by death, when the things that aren't supposed to be in this world have come over you and you just feel like you're sinking in them. That is the moment when you're told, call out to your God. He's the Lord over the deep. He's the Lord over the seas. He's the Lord of the floods. They're his breakers. They're his waves. He is the Lord over life and death. And all God has to do is say the word, and his mercy will wash over you like a flood. Have you come to that place yet where you realize this is between you and the Lord? And some of you can reflect on a time in your life where you were in the pit, where you were in the grave, where you were in that place of darkness, and you called out upon the Lord and he saved you. And if you've experienced that, praise God. But some of you maybe haven't gone there yet. You don't realize yet the depths of your depravity. You don't realize that your sin separates you from God. You don't realize that you're just one moment away from being separated from God unless you call out upon the name of Jesus. And so we need to, each one of us, come to some point in our lives where we recognize only the Lord can save me now. And Jonah continues to pray. He goes on in verse 4, then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall look again, I shall again look upon your holy temple. So Jonah's in the belly of the fish. And what do you think he's seeing inside the fish's stomach? Nothing. Darkness. Like, I think we got to get rid of that image in our minds of like Jonah with a quill and a scroll writing down his prayer at a little writing desk, and he's got a little lamp for him to see, right? And Jonah can't see anything inside of that fish. To him, the fish might as well be Sheol. And so Jonah feels as if the Lord has driven him away from his sight. But God can still see Jonah just as well as when the Lord saw him fleeing for Tarshish. God saw Jonah when he was in his mother's womb. God saw Jonah when he was living in Gath-Hepher with his father Amittai. God saw Jonah when he was going down to Joppa and he was paying that fare to flee from God. God saw Jonah when he was going down into the ship to take a nap because he was probably depressed because he was fleeing from God's presence. And God saw Jonah in the belly of that great fish, which was a great mercy of God towards Jonah. Listen, there's never been a moment that you have been out of God's sight. From God's perspective, he could see Jonah just fine. God never once stopped looking. But from Jonah's perspective, he was having a hard time seeing God in all of his distress. Even though God could see Jonah, Jonah was having a hard time seeing God, and that might be where you are. You're like, thank you, Pastor, for that theological truth. God sees me. He knows me completely. From my mother's womb until my grave, God sees me. He knows everything about me, but I'm having a hard time seeing God in my life right now. That's the kind of prayer that Jonah was praying. God, I know you see me, but I feel like I'm driven away from your sight. Yet. Oh, I love that word, yet. Jonah said in verse 4, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. For Jonah, the temple in Jerusalem was the dwelling place of God's holy presence. And it seems that Jonah could see in his mind's eye God's holy temple in all of its glory. And perhaps Jonah remembered this prayer from King Solomon when he was dedicating the temple to the Lord. If you go back to 1 Kings chapter 8, Solomon was praying to God that if the people of God sinned against their neighbor, or if the people of God were defeated by their enemy, or if there was a famine or a pestilence that came upon the land, or if the people of God were taken out of their land into captivity, or even if a foreigner prayed to God, Solomon prayed to the Lord and he said, God, if we will look upon your holy temple, will you answer us? And God promised that he would answer his people if they looked to him again. Now, did Jonah have a compass in the belly of the fish? Where's Jerusalem? Okay, it's that way. I'm going to pray that way. No. In faith, Jonah was looking back to God. He turned his eyes upon the Lord once again. Jonah knew that if he couldn't see God, at least God would be able to see him. And Jonah looked to the presence of God. He looked to the promises of God for the people of God. And he says, God, I'm going to turn back to you. I've been running from you. I've been trying to get away from you. And yet now I'm turning and I'm setting my sights towards you again. I'm looking upon your holy presence. This is rich stuff, isn't it? There's a way a lot more if you look into it. Thank you. Just making sure you're all listening. Verses 5 and 6. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head. To the roots of the mountain I went down, to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pits, O Lord, my God. Jonah continues praying to the Lord about his experience there in the depths of the sea. the waters closed in over me to take my life. That sounds like drowning to me. The deep surrounded me. That sounds like a man sinking beneath the depths of the water, feeling like he's going even further down. Weeds were wrapped around my head. Sounds like seaweed to me, right? And fun fact, my wife has a legit phobia of seaweed. You should ask her about it sometime, but our goal in our marriage is actually to go diving in some kelp beds together. So still hasn't happened, but we're gonna face our fears together. So, but I digress. So to the roots of the mountains, I went down. That sounds like the bottom of the ocean floor to me. To the land whose bars closed upon me forever. That sounds like some kind of prison. You see, these are the distressed cries of a disobedient prophet who's calling out to his God, asking him to save him from death, to pull him out of the prison that is the grave. And so the question is, did God hear Jonah's prayer? Of course he did. Because when we call, the Lord hears and he answers us. Jonah said, "Yet you brought up my life from the pits, O Lord, my God." That image of being brought up from the pit is very much in the Hebrew poetry, the Psalms and the Lamentations. And so I want to read a few of them to you. Psalm 30, verse 3 says, "O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pits." Psalm 40, verse 2 says, "He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure." Psalm 103, verse 4 says, "Who redeems your life from the pits, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy." Lamentations 3, 55 through 57 says, "I called on your name, O Lord. From the depths of the pit, you heard my plea. Do not close your ears to my cry for help. You came near when I called on you. You said, do not fear." Aren't we so thankful that God hears us and he answers us when we call out to him? Verse 7 says, "When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple." It was here in the face of death, when Jonah's life was fainting away from him, that he says he remembered the Lord. And here's what I'll say to that. We want to remember the Lord in all seasons. We want to pray to the Lord at all times. But when you face death, when your life is fainting away from you, you want to know the Lord. So that when you're facing death, you can remember the Lord and you can pray to him. You don't want to get to that moment when you are about to when you're about to enter into that place when you're about to enter that place where your life is fainting away from you and it's about to be gone. Many of you have been remembering to pray for our brother Rick Arms. And Rick has been facing death. His life is fainting away from him. But we remember the Lord. After church this morning, many of us are going to be going down as Rick is taking off life support. And that man is about to leave this life and enter into glory because we remember the promises of the Lord that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And that because Rick believed and trusted in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, and I know that man has called out upon Jesus for salvation, we know that he has eternal life. And so his last breath on this earth will be his first breath in eternity. So Jonah looked again on the Lord's holy temple. He turned his face to God's presence. Jonah remembered the Lord. He prayed to the Lord. He lifted up his voice to the Lord. Jonah's prayer went up to the Lord in his holy temple, and God heard. God answered. And this is the kind of language that we find throughout the scriptures of the people turning back to God, Jonah's turning back to the Lord. Jonah's repenting of his disobedience and his rebellion. He's saying, I don't want to go my own way anymore. That's brought me death. I want to turn to you, Lord. I want to look to you. I want to seek life. And Jonah's telling the Lord, I don't want to die. I want to live. And the Lord heard the cries of his servant Jonah, and the Lord answered him. And the Lord heard the repentance that was in his confession. Look at this confession of Jonah in verses 8 and 9. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And so Jonah knew that to put anything before the Lord in his heart, that was idolatry. Those who pay regard to vain idols means that those who look to things that cannot save and satisfy you as though they could save and satisfy you, that is idolatry. And so Jonah is saying, what I have vowed, I will pay. Because to forsake the living God for worthless idols would be to forsake God's love. And that word for steadfast love is the Hebrew word hesed, and it's God's covenantal love. It's the love that he has shown us unconditionally and sacrificially. It's the love that he will never take from us. And yet Jonah is saying, God, I need that love. I want to remain in that love. I want to pursue that love. And so he's saying, God, deliver me. God, save me in your love. And so he's saying here, again, those words, Lord, I will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. But here's the question, what did Jonah have inside of the belly of a fish that he could sacrifice to God? What did he have that he could make a vow to God? Again, Jonah didn't have a quill and a scroll. He didn't have a little writing desk and a lamp. He didn't have a compass. And what, did he have some squid next to him that he's gonna sacrifice to God? What does Jonah have inside of the belly of the fish? He has nothing. That's the point, he's got nothing now. Except it's him and the Lord now. And what he can offer to God as a sacrifice, what he can offer to God as a vow. He has nothing except to say, thank you. Thank you, God, for saving me in your mercy. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Jonah finally came to the place where he realized, I've got nothing before you, God, and what I receive is everything that you can give to me. And God can give salvation to those who have gone down, down, down into the depths of the pit and the grave, and finally in that place where they pray to the Lord and they call upon him and say, God, I have nothing except you, and only you can save me now. And so Jonah prayed, and God answered him. God answered him by saving him in his mercy. Look at verse 10. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry lands. I make no promises to talk about fish vomit at the start of next week's sermon, right? But we're almost to that point where we can be done talking about the fish because the story goes on without the fish. You see, the God of all creation appointed for a great fish to swallow Jonah. And then after appointing a time of 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the fish, God spoke to the fish and told him to hurl Jonah up out on the shore. And so it was. Jonah was brought safely to shore. He's alive. He's covered in fish vomit, but he's ready to do God's will. And again, we don't get to decide how God delivers us. We come to God and we say, thank you, Lord, for how you're gonna save me. Salvation belongs to you. And God decided that he was gonna save Jonah by having a fish vomit him out. But Jesus spoke about Jonah and he said, I'm the greater Jonah, right? Because just as Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, so Jesus was in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights, and he was brought out from death to life in resurrection. And last week I read to you from Matthew's gospel what Jesus said about Jonah. I wanna read to you what he says about Jonah in Luke's gospel. There's just a little different nuances here, but check out Luke chapter 11, verse 29 to 32. As the crowds increased, Jesus said, "This is a wicked generation. It asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah was a sign to the Ninevites, so also will the Son of Man be to this generation. The Queen of the South will rise at the judgment with the people of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom, but now something greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, but now something greater than Jonah is here." I'm telling you, any time that I open God's word to preach, I am preaching with a goal in mind. It's this: to convince you of your need for Jesus, that you might bring the real you to the real Jesus and find salvation. The goal of my preaching is to tell sinners how they can find salvation and how salvation can only be found in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross for us and how he rose from the dead. And Jonah was a sign of the salvation that belongs to the Lord. If salvation belongs to the Lord, then that means he decides how we get saved. And God decided that we would be saved by not what we have and not what we bring. We have nothing. God decided that the way he would save us is that Jesus would come from heaven to earth and die on a cross for our sins. He who was without sin died for sinners so that we can be reconciled to a holy God, so that we could face his presence again and say thank you. Jesus was buried in a tomb, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And Jonah's experience of being in the sea speaks to a kind of death, burial, and resurrection. But there's a greater Jonah, in that Jesus died and was buried and resurrected, never to die again. And so Jonah's story is a fascinating story. It's very real, it's very relatable, but do you understand this, that something greater than Jonah is here? And as crowds increase in this church, and I thank God for it, I thank God that people come to this place to hear the word of God, but let me ask you a question. What did you come to hear? Is it, "I want to hear about the fish, tell me about the fish"? Or did you come to hear something greater than that, that salvation belongs to the Lord? Jonah tells the grand story of how we, who are more like Jonah than we're willing to admit, that if we call upon the name of the Lord, he will answer and he will save us. And so we need to know this one thing, that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But until you go through your own death, burial, and resurrection, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. Jesus dying and being buried and being raised from the dead shows us that this is what we must go through. In the same way that Jonah died and was buried and rose again, it's a picture of how all of us have to die to ourselves. All of us have to have our sin and our shame and our guilt and our separation from God buried in the grave so that we might come out in resurrection life and live again for Jesus, turning our face to his presence. Amen? That's what Jonah's about. Do you know it? Is that what you come to hear? Is that what you've come to receive? I pray that it is. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this morning, for your word that is truth and that speaks life to us, not death, but life. And God, I ask that if there's anyone here today who today is the day of salvation for them, they realize that they have been trying to do it on their own. They've been going their own way, doing their own thing, but today's the day where they say, "I have nothing left. This is between you and me now, God. I have nothing to offer. So I receive your mercy. I ask for your mercy to come and save me. Lord, I need you." And if you're here today, and today is the day that you want to call out upon the name of the Lord so that you might be saved, you can join me in this prayer. Lord Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner and that I need a savior. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on a cross for my sin. Thank you for going into that grave that I deserve. But you came out of the grave into resurrection life so that I can live with you for eternity. And so today I believe, today I receive what you offer me, And so with my humble confession, with the prayer of my lips and the meditation of my heart, I say, God, will you save me? I'm like Jonah. But Jesus, you're the greater Jonah. I want you. So would you come and be the Lord and the Savior of my life? Amen. Amen.